Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, it's Mother's Day. Praise the Lord. So this might be a little different than the Mother's Day sermons you're used to, but we believe that we have a word from the Lord this morning. I just want to share a couple of things real quick, because it just seems like in services like this, there we go, I knew I could find Psalms, that you always got to share, you know, a little bit of good stuff here about Mother's Day. Mother's Day actually was fully established in 1914. That was a few years ago. And they actually used to, as a public expression of love, they established the day in reverence for the mothers of our country. By then, it had become customary to wear white carnations to honor departed mothers and red to honor the living. A custom, I guess, that still continues till today. I did not know that. But as I was reading this, I found that out, and I thought, that's really neat, the way they did that. While many countries of the world celebrate their own Mother's Day at different times throughout the year, there are some countries such as Denmark, Finland, Italy, Turkey, Australia, and Belgium, which also celebrate Mother's Day on the second Sunday of May. So Mother's Day is always the second Sunday of May for you men that forget. David O. McKay said this, "The noblest calling in the world is that of mother. True motherhood is the most beautiful of all arts, the greatest of all professions. She who can paint a masterpiece or who can write a book that will influence millions deserves the plaudits and admiration of mankind. But she who rears successfully a family of healthy, beautiful sons and daughters, whose moral souls will be exerting an influence throughout the ages long after painting shall have faded and books and statues shall have been destroyed, deserves the highest honor that man can give." Amen. So I just want to share a couple of funny things here that I found. You know you're really a mom when you count the number of sprinkles on each kid's cupcake to make sure they are equal. You want to take out a contract on the kid who broke your child's favorite toy and made them cry. You have time to shave only one leg at a time. You hide in the bathroom to be alone. Your child throws up and you catch it. Listen to this. Someone else's kid throws up at a party and you keep eating. You consider finger paint to be a controlled substance. You mastered the art of placing food on a plate without anything touching. Your child insists that you read Once Upon a Potty out loud in the lobby of the doctor's office, and you do it. You hire a babysitter because you haven't been out with your husband in ages, and then you spend half the night talking and checking on the kids. You are a mother. You hope ketchup is a vegetable because it's the only one your child eats. I've met parents like that. What are you feeding your kid? Ketchup. It's what they'll eat. You find yourself cutting your husband's sandwiches into unusual shapes. You obsess when your child clings to you upon parting during his first month at school. Then you obsess when he skips it without looking back. You can't bear to give away baby clothes. It's so final. You hear your mother's voice coming out of your mouth when you say, "Not in your good clothes." You stop criticizing the way your mother raised you. That's for sure when you have become a mother. You read that the average five-year-old asks 437 questions a day and feel proud that your kids is above average. You say at least once a day, "I'm not cut out for this job," but you know you wouldn't trade it for anything. That's good, isn't it? All right, one more. One more funny thing. My mother taught me. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me religion. You'd better pray that will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me logic, because I said so, that's why. I've used that many times. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. My mother taught me about contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? This reminds me of Tim Hawkins. My mother taught me about stamina. You'll sit there until all the spinach is gone. My mother taught me about the weather. This room looks like as if a tornado went through it. My mother taught me about hypocrisy. If I told you once, I've told you a million times. Don't exaggerate. My mother taught me the circle of life. I brought you into this world. I could take you out. My mother taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait until we get home. My mother taught me about receiving. You are going to get it when we get home. My mother taught me medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. My mother taught me ESP. Put your sweater on. Don't you think I know when you are cold? My mother taught me humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me genetics. You're just like your father. My mother taught me about my roots. Shut that door behind you. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me wisdom. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. And my favorite, my mother taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Well, praise God. Thank God for mothers. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, if you'll turn to Psalms 37, and, we had, actually, Heidi was planned to speak this morning, and she's going to, you can come up and just now if you want. And she was going to share on Mother's Day because, I am not a mother, so I struggle to identify. Do you need to put your Bible up there? We just want to share a testimony this morning about God's goodness and faithfulness. And we want to do it out of Psalms 37. And there are, you go through the scripture, you can apply anything to your situation in the promises of God. Amen. And so we want to do that this morning in sharing about a faith fight that we went through this weekend and a victory. How about? Wouldn't that be good? Amen. So in Psalm 37, verse 1, it says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5 says this, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So what we want to do is just, Heidi's going to share kind of what we went through this weekend. I'll start out here. So we had our men's fishing trip this weekend. And so we went up to Fort Peck, and we went to the north side of Fort Peck. And it's about 5.5 hours to get up there, maybe a little longer, depending on the size of trailer you're pulling. And so we went up to Fort Peck, and I want to just stop there. And about the time we were pulling in, go ahead and share.
All right. Well, I was here. It's a little loud. I was here working on Thursday. It was Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thursday.
Working on Thursday, and the enemy tried to attack my body in a way I had not experienced before. And so immediately, because this is important, immediately I grabbed that part of my body that was reacting, and I commanded it to come in line with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Commanded it. I did not feel fear at that moment. I felt, and this is huge, because we don't just grab out here at the scripture somebody told us one time, or the preacher said this one time, or this. We treasure the Word of God in our heart, and it is health and medicine, and it is life to every part of our flesh. We bury it. We know God. We know the Holy Spirit. We know His Word. We have relationship with Him. We are just putting stuff in, because then when the enemy does come, we're full, and then that's what's released out of us. So I was over here. The enemy attacked my body. I made it to my phone to call 911. The fact that I was alone was by my phone, and I had unlocked the door for the bug guy was the Lord's hand over it, because I keep that door locked. Called the ambulance. They came. Took them a really long time. But that whole time, I'm sitting on the floor over there, and I'm just declaring the Word of God over my body. They came. They checked me out. They ruled out one thing right away, blood sugar. My blood sugars were great. As I'm talking to the 911 officer before they got here, the fact that I could dial the number and get the words out of my mouth, God's hand was on it. He was on me completely. So got over there, and they came, and they said, you know, they have to ask you if you can take them. And I said, well, I'm going to call my parents. Sean was out of town. I'm going to call my parents, see where they're at. They happened to be right down the street at that time. They came here, on the way to the hospital, the fact that I could call a cell phone in Fort Peck, is that what it's called, Fort Peck?
Yeah, Fort Peck,
and get a hold of somebody, God's hand was on me.
Because there's no signal out there.
There's no cell signal out there.
All of a sudden, well, I'll give the other half of it here.
Okay, so
I'm driving along behind Mike. And he stops in the middle of the dirt road. Then we're not too far from the bay where we're going to. I'm like, what is he doing? Because I was looking around because there's buffalo out there. And he's like, there's no buffalo or anything. And he stops and he gets out of the car and comes to me. And Heidi's on the phone.
So I get to the hospital, take me into the emergency room. You know, they get y'all hooked up and stuff. And asked me a million times, every person a few times, what happened and what I was experiencing. So I told them. And the doctors in the ER were, I believe, 95% sure they knew what happened to me and what it was. They diagnosed it in their mind. They said, listen, we can't make you, but if you say no, we're going to come back in here and keep asking you until you decide to stay at the hospital and get all the tests done that you need to get done. And so I said, listen, and I said, I grabbed this. I said, Mom, bring my word, bring my Bible. Bring my Bible in with me. This is my medicine. This is my life. Not only do I have the life of God, the power of the resurrection living on the inside of me, but I have the word of God, which is my sword and my weapon, and I do not leave anywhere without it. Now, I have it in my heart, but I wanted my Bible. You know, I wanted my Bible. And so they came in and they said, well, we were going to do some tests. They did a heart test. They did a CAT scan, did all this, came back and said, okay, those were good. There's nothing. But we want you to go up and take the more in-depth tests that they can do when you're in the hospital. And the doctor, the ER doctor, came in and he said, now, I said, about how long is this going to take to get to a room? And he said, well, about 2 to 3 hours at the minimum. He walked out of the room and I said, no. I said, I'm not waiting that long. So I declared the favor of God over myself. And I said, I will have favor here. This will move quickly, and I will get to where I need to go. And when he came in, I said, you know, and he's just like, I mean, he just looked terror on his face. He really did. He looked like a nervous guy, you know. But I said, I said, I'm going to be prudent here, and I'm going to go and get these tests, but I am not paranoid. There's no fear. I am not going to be afraid. Listen, if the enemy can get you to get into that fear, your imagination will go places that you cannot afford for it to go. And you don't dwell on that. You dwell on here. We don't take from here in. We take from here out. Mm-hmm. This dictates the situation. This is what you speak to the situation, not all this. And I appreciate doctors and I appreciate what they do. But listen, they are not above the Most High God. Mm-hmm. And they do not know more than God knows. Amen. They're created by God.
Yeah.
They don't know more than their creator. God knows, you know. So they get me up to their room and they did all of these tests. And listen, I didn't even turn the TV on. I read my word. And I can tell you that there's a difference. I knew it was coming out of this well, this spring. It was coming out of this that I had placed inside of me for years, that I had heard, that I had put inside. And I began to draw on that, and I began to pull on that, and I began to speak on that. And then I was speaking those words in faith. The doctor came in that night when we got in, and he said, you know, well, we're going to run this, and you know, all of his stuff. And I said, I don't plan on being here very long. Kind of took him back a little bit. He goes, I like that attitude. And that wasn't just me being obstinate. That was me. That's a fight. That was faith in me rising up and said, I am not staying here. The only reason I come to the hospital and lay in a bed is when I have children, and I'm done with that. So, no more. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. We're going to shoot the arrows.
Yeah.
Going to launch them.
So, now, mind you, this whole time I'm dealing with symptoms, and I'm speaking to my body, and I am commanding my body to come in line with the word of God. I'm commanding my body. I am telling it what to do. I am telling it that the life of God flows through every nerve, every organ, every bone, every muscle, every part of my body, that the life of God flows through it. I'm not going to even give in to fear for a second. Because the enemy is not going to get one even little, if he has pinky toes, in my life. He's not even going to get in there for a second. Now listen, that does not mean that fear did not try to come. In fact, he tried to come when I was the most, like, physically rested. That was at night. 3 times, symptoms tried to come back, and I declared the word of the Lord over my body. And I continued to speak. They did all the tests, came back, said, your brain is fine. There are no blood clots. There are no broken blood vessels. Your heart is immaculate. Your blood sugars are perfect. Cholesterol. Your cholesterol is perfect. It's perfect.
Blood pressure.
Your blood pressure is perfect. Listen, all this time, they had marked my room as this case. They had given me pamphlets on what to do with this kind of thing. The pamphlet said, how to deal with your meh. They had given me, and I know they have to do that, but listen, in their mind, this is what they saw, and this is what they thought. But I actually took that pamphlet, and I turned it around, because I was like, I'm not reading that. That's not mine. It's never going to be mine. I'm not going to claim it as mine. It's not mine. And anyway, so is there anything you want to add to that part?
Well, I was just going to say, so I'm in Fort Peck, and we get that phone call. And Heidi says, well, you know, you can stay or you can come home. I said, well, I'm coming home. I prayed about it. I thought, I got to go home. And so I actually was at the fishing trip for 2 hours. And Shane let me catch one fish. He did all the work. I just reeled it in. You know, during that time, I'm 5.5 hours away. So what am I doing? I'm declaring the word. That's what I'm declaring. Because the enemy comes and he tries to bring thoughts and imaginations, and of course he's working in circumstances to us, and he wants us as a team and me individually to grab on to what he is trying to do and begin to speak that. Well, I never did. Now, we had conversation about what the doctors had said about her. They broke it down to what, 3 things? They ruled out your heart. They ruled out, it was like either your heart, your blood pressure, or blood clot is what they said. And it was interesting to when I got back, actually when I was driving back, the enemy was just on the prowl for me and mine this last weekend. Fine. The fix is in, you know what I mean? I mean, you're not... I have a covenant with God, and it's these verses that we're talking about. I trust in the Lord. We dwell in the, we do what God, we feed on His faithfulness. You know, reading scripture to me is not just a 15-minute devotion time. We put it in us. It is our life. We talk about it. We sing about it. We declare it. Our kids speak it. It is through all of everything that we do. And not just we've done it and it's great. We're increasing in doing it. And so I'm driving back and I'm pulling a trailer, Terry's trailer, camper with his truck. And I get into the Heights and I prayed in the Holy Ghost from Fort Peck, Fourchette Bay to Billings, pretty much. So I got a good 5 hours in there. And 4.5 hours of praying in the Spirit. You say, why? Guys, you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I don't need psychology right now. I don't need a natural remedy of man to come through. I need the hand of God. And the hand of God is accessed by faith. And faith comes by hearing. And I've been putting the word in me for 20 years. He picked the wrong dude to mess with. He picked the wrong mom to mess with. He picked the wrong church to mess with. Because people were praying. People were declaring the word. Even the ones that didn't know all the details. He picked the wrong one. You want this group on your side. Why? Because we know how to fight. We know how to fight by faith. And when trouble comes, I've never met anybody who has tragedy come to the door that cries out to Buddha. Like Jesse Duplantis says, there's no atheists on airplanes going down. Like I read about the general in the military, there's no atheists in foxholes. Oh God, oh God, oh God. They're crying out to God. Why? Because He's the answer. It's in the heart of man. Well, we've done the right thing through the years in being obedient by the grace of God and all these things coming together. So I get just into the Heights and guess what tries to happen? A car accident. I'm driving down the Heights at about 12:30 in the morning. And now it's Friday, obviously. And I'm driving through the Heights with this camper, and I look to my right as I'm coming up on a particular light, and I look at the light, and it's green. Green as the day is long. To my left is a vehicle sitting waiting to turn left in front of me. But they don't have a green arrow. They're just sitting there. To my right is what looks to me like a homeless man who's very intoxicated, walking down the sidewalk. So when you're driving, you know how you're assessing everything. And I'm looking at this gentleman who's kind of wobbling down the sidewalk, and I'm watching him to make sure he doesn't fall into the street. But I also assessed what was going on here. Well, I didn't think that car was going to pull in front of me. Guess what that car did? It pulled right in front of me. Now, listen to me, okay? Because this is what I want you to catch. I could have, in that moment, thought to myself and yielded to, Lord, why is this happening? I mean, God, my wife just got attacked. She's in the hospital. That's not what came out of me. What came out of me was, first of all, as I turned, I was surprised to see the back door and the trunk to the vehicle that I had saw over there right in front of this truck. I slammed on the brakes, and fortunately the trailer had brakes too, because if it didn't, I think we would have just kept going. I would have just kept going right into it. And you know how everything happens so quick, you know, but you don't quite. I slammed on the brakes and turned to the left right away, and I missed that car probably by that much. And then I got past it, and I didn't go, why, God? I said, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. No car accident. No maimed wife. Why? Because the word of the Lord protects. The angels of heaven are working. God's word is working in our lives daily, constantly. And I am so thankful for it.
There's a scripture that the Lord had me go to, and I'm going to read it. You guys all know it, but I'm going to read it again. But it's Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want or lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod, which is his word, and your staff, which is the spirit. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy. One translation says that it follows, it runs after you. It's chasing after you. I believe that's where that song came from. His goodness is chasing after you. So you know how I get up here every Sunday morning and I say, God is good and he is faithful. I declare it. I declare it not just in the bad times. I declare it in the good. I declare it all day long because he's good and he's faithful. And if you focus on the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God, you will realize that there is a table prepared for you in the presence of your enemy that is fully supplied with everything that you need to walk through that valley and not get burned.
Amen.
And there's a scripture also in Psalms that talks about, that I read this morning, that's so good. You bring me to a better place than I was before, saturated with your goodness. I'm going to a better place.
A better place.
So this put a fight in me. I said, not only am I going to be completely healed here, and I am, but I'm going to go ahead and take my healing for my back as well. And I'm going to make sure that I help everybody else at Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana, know what faith is and know how to stand in faith and know how to be a woman of God and know how to be a mother who doesn't just go to a kid comes to you sick and we don't just, oh no, what are we going to do? But no, enemy, you have no right. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus Christ. My son came and he just laid in bed next to me last night. He said, Mom, my stomach kind of hurts. And oh, I was like, oh no. Inside, I was like, oh no, 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 no. We're not having this. We're not having this. You know what the Lord told me when I was laying in the hospital bed? He showed me this. He said, you know, sometimes we look at situations and they seem impossible. And what does his word say? His word says that there's nothing impossible with God and there's nothing impossible to those that believe. Do you know what he told me? He goes, the enemy should look at you and say it's impossible to touch that body.
Mm-hmm.
That's who it's impossible for, the enemy. Because the enemy never, never beats God. The enemy never overtakes God. So when we stand up in the authority that we've been given and we know God, we just don't know him on a Sunday morning for an hour. Come on, church. We don't just spend a little bit of time when I got some extra time to give. No, he's our everything. He's our life. He's our fortress. He's what we stand on. He's our rock. He's our foundation. He is the very air that we breathe. He's our breath. He's our heartbeat. He's our life. He's everything. He's why we're here. He's why we live. He's why we have a mission. He's why we have a purpose. We have a purpose. And it's to bring people to the kingdom. Enough of the body of Christ that thinks that we're weak, that are dealing with things that the world deals with on the same level. No, we are seated high above. We're seated in Christ Jesus. We're seated in a victory that's already been won. And we get to show people, come on, the victory's good. Come on, you don't have to camp out in this valley, this death, this hopelessness. There's hope in him. And he's going to wish he would have never. Because I don't know if he realizes it, but I'm mad. And he's going to pay. You know why it's impossible that he take me out early? Because God said, I have a plan and a purpose for you, and that's all I need. And a plan and a purpose from God is not being whatever at almost 40 years old. A plan and a purpose is not just barely getting the church going and then, oh, that happened. No. We are going to run this race. We're going to run it in full health. We're going to run it, everything attached and working and moving just like it should, flowing with the blood of Jesus, flowing with the life of Christ, flowing with the power of the resurrection, and we're going to be victorious in it. And we're not going to barely make it to heaven. When I've lived long and satisfied life and done exactly what God told me to do, then I'm going to say, see you later. Go into a better place because it's time. So I just want to encourage you as a mother. Get the word of God in you. Fear God. Now, that's not being afraid. That's honoring him and holding him in the place that he is, who he is. Glorifying him. Seeking him. Not going to the natural thing right away. We go to the Spirit of God first. And we get leading and we get direction. And then that's what we impart into our children. And when we do that, I have been telling my girls, I just told Taylor this morning, God is good. He's so good to us. He's so good to us, and I am going to use this as a lesson. Because right now, sometimes it's like, did you do your devotion? You know? It's going to become really real to them. This is why we know God. This is why we spend time with him. Because he's our everything. He's not a religion. He's a relationship. He's our Father. And he's faithful. And he does not leave you. And he does not forsake you. And he'll walk through any valley you walk through with you. And if you stay with him and stay on his word and you hold the line and you don't give up and you don't give in to fear, you will get to the other side of that valley. And the victory will be very sweet. But do not forget to celebrate that victory while you're in the valley. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was laying in there thank you, Lord. You're good. You're good. I even laughed at the enemy a couple times. You are so good, God. Oh, man. Am I going to be able to tell the people how good you are in this situation that he can be good for you too? He is good for you. Just let him. Let him be in your life. He's good. He has answer to every question you have. He has a victory for every battle that you face. Doesn't matter what it is or where you came from. He's faithful. He's faithful.
I'm just going to read this to you, and then we'll practice a phrase I heard, wholesale healing. You say, what does that mean? Years ago, Smith Wigglesworth went to a country, and they charged him with practicing medicine without a license because people were getting healed. So they told him he couldn't lay hands on people, so he just had people stand and he just declared the word over them and they were healed anyway. There's always ways around these things. But I just want to read this and then I know there's a blessing for the moms out there. And I'm going to have Heidi wrap up with prayer by praying over everybody. But I want you to hear this. Moms, I'd ask you to do this, mark Psalm 37 in your Bibles, and start declaring it over your family, over your kids. I want you to listen to this, and I'm going to read through these verses, and you'll see this pretty much covers your life. I'm going to start in verse 3 again. It says, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And you'll want to turn this into a confession. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off. I'm talking about in your life. Your battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against the devil. And you should sit and say, the devil, you're being cut off. You're just being cut off. Sorry, your promise is cut off. My promise is to feed on faithfulness. So I feed on faithfulness. He says, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth for yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him. She laughed at the enemy. Why? Because our dad laughs at the enemy. So then we get a laugh at the enemy. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. You should, because God said it. For he sees that his day, the enemy's day, is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow, listen to this, to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Listen to what happens to the wicked. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. The arms of the wicked shall be broken, not you, the arms of the wicked. But the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. And the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish into smoke. They shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. Say, I'm not cursed by him. That means that you're going to inherit the earth. The steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I've been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice, and he does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slip or slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. The Lord is declaring to us that I want so much blessing of mine flowing in your life that you look for what the devil has tried to do and you go, where is it? I can't find it. Where did it go? It can feel like the wicked is spreading like a green tree, and then all of a sudden, boom, gone. Why? Because you are the righteous ones. You are the faithful ones. You are the ones with Christ within you. And as you declare the living word that is within your heart over your situation, it is like weed killer in the devil's world. All of a sudden, these seeds rise up. The fruit of righteousness begins to come forth. And you know what the cure for weeds is? A good, healthy lawn. You are feeding and led in green pastures. You are fighting the good fight of faith. You are soldiers of the kingdom of heaven. And you are able, in the strength of the resurrected Lord, to walk through any valley and come out on the other side without the smell of smoke. Yes, mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressor, those who reject God, shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Thank you, Lord. I always have strength in trouble. When trouble comes, I don't get weaker. I get stronger. Come on, that's the promise. You see that, right? Most people are like, oh, well, we're in trouble. You know, that's because you're feeding at the wrong table. When I go through trouble, I go, whoa, I'm on Holy Ghost steroids. You say, that's just cocky. No, it's faith. I'm just saying what he said. Amen. Lastly, this, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Man, you could go over that every day and make a confession. You just declare, devil, you're being cut off on the left. You're being cut off on the right. You're being cut off in my family. You're being cut off in my kids. You're being cut off in my relatives. You're being cut off in my business. What you have tried to spread out like a green tree will come to nothing. In fact, devil, I'd just like to declare to you in the name of Jesus that I'm going to look for you, but you won't be found. People wonder about this. I can see it on people's face. Are you sure you want to do that? The devil roams about as a roaring lion. I've been doing this for 20 years. If he's so big and bad, how come I'm not dead? Hey, come on, church. You have the victory inside of you. See, I can't live it for you, but I can live it in front of you. And hopefully it makes you so mad that you go ahead and do it. Amen. Would you stand, please? Praise God. Best Mother's Day ever. Yes, I'm going to have Heidi just declare over you. If you have an issue in your body, because see, I had a teacher at Rhema, a dean, Gary Crowell. He's now a missionary to China. But he said every time he had a church, he planted several churches, but he said if the enemy ever attacked his family with sickness, he'd pray for people for healing the very next Sunday or the very next service. You say, why? Counterattack. You know, most Christians believe counterattacking is going, oh God, please, oh God, please. That's not counterattack. Counterattack is charged. When the enemy comes in and tries to hit you with everything, people do this in the natural, but they forget about it in the spiritual. When the enemy tries to come at you with everything, you don't go, what are we going to do? You rise up and say, sharpen the swords, get the shields ready, mount the horses up, let's go, grab the spears. Why? Because, devil, you picked on the wrong one. You say, has this worked? For 20 plus years. God is faithful, and I'm not running into this battle in my own glory. I'm running in His, and He is faithful. So wherever you have a need on your body, just put your hand on it, your own hand. We're laying hands on you right now. This is wholesale, and go ahead. You can bless Almighty.
Father, we just thank You. Lord, we praise You. Father, we thank You that You are a healer, that You are peace, Your wholeness. You are nothing missing, nothing broken. You are complete. You are full to overflowing. You're abundant. You satisfy. You love. You're so good, God. We thank You. Father, we just pray for each body in this place in the name of Jesus. And we command in Jesus' name for things to line up and straighten out and come in line with the Word of God in Jesus' name. We rebuke the enemy and his attack, and we say, no, not here. It will be impossible for You to penetrate my body because it flows with the healing anointing of the Most High God. And Jesus already purchased it. He took it. He owned it. And He won it. And He battled. And He won it. And He won the victory for me now. So we take it right now in Jesus' name. And we say to you, enemy, you are defeated. You have lost. And we command everything to straighten out, to come out right, to line up with the anointing, to line up with the Word of God in Jesus' name. We speak to every situation here, and we declare that You are whole, You are complete, You are whole and healthy, You're satisfied, and You're at peace in Jesus' name. You're at peace. You settle down bodies, and You be at peace. So, Father, I just pray over each mom here, Lord God. I thank You, Father. Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, Your Word, that You help us to be bold and strong and courageous women. Mothers that stand up to the enemy, that don't let them in even a second, for even a moment. Father, I thank You, Lord, that, Father, You've given us every tool that we need. You've given us the grace of God, the ability of God on the inside of us to come and deal with every situation, in every child, in every school, in every place that they are, Lord, that You, in the home, Lord, You've given us grace and ability. And we draw on that. And we thank You for it, Lord. We will not say we do not know what to do. We will not say it's gone too far. We will not say about any child that it's too late. But Father, we will say and declare that they will accomplish all that God has begun in them. And it will be completed until it is done and fully satisfied and finished and complete in Jesus' name. So Father, I just pray blessing upon every woman here. Oh Lord, that there would be a stirring. A stirring that's against the norm right now. A stirring for righteousness. A stirring for strength in You, God. A stirring, a warrior in each one. A fight would rise. We thank You, Lord. We give You all the glory and the honor and praise today. We love You, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.